Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm your host, Brett Twitty, and you are listening to a new episode. On this episode of the podcast, I'm excited to share my recent conversation with Asha Pridgen. Asha is a second-year student in our Executive MBA class of 2022, and she and I recently connected via Zoom to talk more about her MBA journey. Asha and I talk about her decision to pursue an MBA, what led her to Darden, as well as how her career goals have evolved during her time in the program. If you're interested in learning more about career resources and support for our Executive MBA students here at the Darden School of Business, this episode is essential listening. So without further ado, here's my interview with Asha Pridgen. Asha, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Brett. Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
It's great to have you here. I remember when you were a prospective student, you came for a class visit, Sands Family Grounds, Roslyn. On a Saturday, a quiet Saturday, I think, but you were up here sitting in on a class, and how far we've come. You're about to graduate. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you, Brett. Quarter 10. And I remember coming up to Roslyn too, and it was in the spring, I think. And I remember driving up thinking, this is what it's going to be like, because obviously I live in North Carolina, and so I had to commute, but just kind of thinking about this is what it's going to be like traveling up. And then got to the class, and I remember Shane was teaching the teddy bear case, which we also learned. And I was like, I'm coming. This is where I want to be. And the students were so nice. I think I had like a study buddy or like a, I can't remember what they were called, but I had a little buddy for the day, and she was awesome. So yeah, quarter 10 and full circle. I started a conversation with you and I'm ending a conversation with you. So it feels good.
You're right. This story does have some parallel structure. So for our English majors out there, I'd appreciate that. So yeah, and gosh, it feels like forever ago. The world has changed so much since your class visit. So much has happened. We're hopeful that we can resume class visits as we go forward. Here, we've got virtual mock classes for anybody who wants to kind of get a feel for the case method. That's about what we can do right now, but we're hopeful that we can resume those in-person visits because, to your point, you know, being able to engage with the current students, to see the program in action, to get a feel for what a weekend residency is like. You do have a host. We normally would pair folks with a student who was a guide of sorts, or at least just there to help introduce you to folks. One of the things that I think is true is the students really know each other. So as an outsider, you'd be like, wow, these people seem like best friends. How do I work my way in here? So having a host can be helpful. So fingers crossed that we're able to get back to that place, Asha. So, well, you've already told a little bit more about your story. People have started to learn you're in North Carolina. Of course, my home state. Our longtime listeners will know I'm an enthusiastic North Carolinian. So tell us a little bit more about you and your background.
Yeah, so we have a connection with UNC Chapel Hill and North Carolina. So I actually have my JD, like you, from UNC Chapel Hill. And I work here, and I serve as the director of student conduct. So I oversee the university's disciplinary process, and I've been here for almost 8 years. 8 years would be in July. But my story before coming to UNC Chapel Hill to work starts practicing law, right? So I got out of law school, knew I wanted to do family law, moved to the coast. So I don't know if you know about New Bern, North Carolina. Lived out there for about 4 years and learned a lot. had some really great mentors in the office, outside of the office, and really just jumped in and got a sense for what it meant to practice law. Because obviously in law school, you don't actually learn the practice of law school, right? But you definitely get the skills. And then I came back to Raleigh. So meaning back, I was living in the Raleigh area with my family, then moved out to New Bern, then came back and worked at a couple of firms in Raleigh and put my toe into personal injury and did some other things and then went back to family law. And then there was this moment where I had, and he's my boss and he's my mentor. He reached out to me for this opportunity to come back to UNC Chapel Hill and really helped me understand how I could use my skill set and then in a higher educational environment. And I've been here ever since, right? And so helping students, working through like crisis and Just trying to help them develop leadership development skills has really been like the exciting part of this process that I've really, really enjoyed. And all the things that I learned in law school that I actually maybe didn't actually apply in practice has really been helpful in the work that I do as well. So that's me as professionally, but happy to talk about like who I am personally, if you're interested in that as well.
Absolutely. We share with our prospective students and applicants that when they approach the application process, you know, there are really three key components of an application, right? So it's easy to talk about school and career, but we're also curious about who you are personally. So yes, Asha, you got to tell us that part of your story.
Yeah, this is the fun part. And I think the Darden experience has really helped me tell the story. And so we learned that very early on in maybe the first or second quarter. And again, for me, Darden has really helped me formalize a lot of the things that we just do generally, and then actually can put it into a framework and a structure. But as I think about my story, I'm my mom's daughter, the caring, like supportive, quiet person, but I'm also my dad who, my dad was in the Navy for 21 years and then retired as a commander. He's quiet, but he's a leader. That's me too. And then I'm a sister. And I know what it means to be a friend, but I also know how to be like honest about circumstances and help guide people and but also be supportive and caring. And that's what I do for my family. But I think about all of that collectively and who I am and the decisions that I've made, right? So we're all about our experiences, who our families are, and how they all influence us. And so they're all driven, right, in their own ways. And so I think about like, why am I so driven to, I've got an undergraduate degree, I've got my JD, and now I wanted to do my MBA. Like, where is that coming from? And I really think I was shaped by my family and just seeing how my parents went from Eastern North Carolina, which is rural and very poor, to who they are today, which is just an amazing story. And I know that I wouldn't have made the choice to come to Darden, get my JD, get my undergraduate degree, and go on and do great things that have been for them.
Well, thank you for sharing that. You know, the older we get, at least been my experience, the more you think about your parents and your upbringing and how these experiences shape you and lead you to make the decisions that you've made and pursue the things perhaps that you've decided to pursue. Our listeners may be maybe intrigued by your story because they heard, well, I'm a lawyer, I've been working in higher education, and that may be a little bit of a different background than what many people might expect in an MBA program. However, and I want to channel one of our class of 2023 members who said, I came to Darden and assumed I would be just the non-traditional person. Everybody else would be from a more traditional background, and then only to discover that, gosh, there are a lot of people that would be in the quote unquote non-traditional category here. And what we always share from the admission standpoint is like that binary of traditional, non-traditional broke down, I think, for MBA programs quite a while ago. And that there's so many different kinds of people, not only who are looking at an MBA, but who can really thrive in an MBA program. So Asha, talk us through your decision to pursue an MBA. How did you decide that this path was one you wanted to pursue?
Yeah, no, you set that up really well, Brett, because I think initially I had a really close friend who did the full-time program. I always felt that they were a dynamic thinker. And then I would be around the circle of friends that they had, and I was always like, they know a little about a lot. And that just fascinated me. And I'm intellectually curious. And so I listen a lot. And I like to listen to people that have like interesting things to say. So I was around that person a lot, saw their experience, saw their trajectory after they finished their program. But I also noticed from the full-time program, you have more of the, at least from my perspective, more of the binary piece. And so it took me some time to really come around and say I was going to get my executive MBA or decide to get my MBA, right? Because I could have done the full time, I could have done the executive piece. And so I did a lot of research and had to decide, like, what are the trade-offs? If I do the full-time program, what does that mean? If I do the executive program, what does that mean? And for me, there was no question. I would get the dynamic piece in the executive program. I could continue to work full-time. But most importantly, what you mentioned is everyone's non-traditional. I mean, that's not even a thing, right? Because we all have different paths. And so it's been really exciting to be in a class full of like medical professionals. And I'm really passionate about the healthcare and to learn from them and be immersed in different courses with them. It's been really great to be around a lot of service members and learning from them. And then we just have just a variety. I mean, we have parents, we have, you know, families, and of course, we got to meet a lot of them by way of Zoom, so that's been really fun. But yeah, I mean, that in part was what said to me, I'm going to do my executive MBA. As far as Darden, I mean, I could go on for days and talk about why I chose Darden, but I'll give you like the short story. So I alluded to it earlier. I did the visit. I came, immersed myself, or I had the opportunity to immerse myself in what it would be like, at least for a half day. But I also knew Darden has a rigorous academic course and faculty. And that was really, really important to me. I wanted to be pushed. I really wanted to fill the gaps that I had with my quantitative skills. I'm a liberal arts undergraduate major, and you know, you don't really learn that stuff in law school. And so I didn't know what I was going to do after I got my MBA, but I just knew this is a gap. And I want to fill it. And then I also wanted to be in an environment where the general management piece was really big in the program. Because again, I really wasn't sure exactly where I would land. I knew what I was pretty good at, and so I could enhance those skills. And then I knew I wanted more of the global opportunities. So global meaning, if I wanted to stay in the States, I could after Darden. If I wanted to venture away, I knew that that would be an opportunity too, just from the research that I had done about Darden. So all of those together, like being in a dynamic classroom around dynamic peers with all sorts of different backgrounds, and also the academic learning environment, were all things that, I hate to say check the box for me, but it did. It checked the box. Those were specific things that I was looking for. And so there was just no question, once I made the decision, Darden was the right place.
Well, there's so much goodness in what you shared. First of all, I appreciate you using the language trade-offs when considering full-time and exec. We oftentimes will have candidates who may be thinking about a full-time or more residential program, thinking about perhaps a part-time format, maybe one that has flexibility and more extended timeline in terms of completion. For example, our part-time format here at Darden, and also the executive MBA format. And we don't say pro and con. There are no cons. At the end of the day, you know, we want you to choose the format that's right for you. And there are trade-offs, though, that you should consider. You can't do all of the same things in all of these formats. You have to figure out, from your view, what are your priorities? What do you want to make sure you get out of the experience? What's most important for you? And it's been fun helping students make these decisions, and certainly across both full-time and our executive MBA, and now having a part-time MBA, and helping people think about these different paths to a Darden MBA. Everybody earns the same credential at the end of this. And the thing that I also really loved that you shared, Asha, was, you know, just around kind of the general management piece and the fact that you are going to get this broad foundation. I think in this world where I think people are really pushed to specialize and concentrate, and if you look at a lot of different business schools, you may see a real emphasis around specialization. Darden is a general management program, and very proudly so, and really celebrates the importance of breadth, particularly for executive MBA students, that people come as specialists oftentimes. They have deep experience in a particular area of a business or in a particular type of work. And the goal that they have is to grow as leaders, which is much more of a generalist orientation, being able to work and have a perspective across many dimensions of a business, of an operation. And that is very powerful for people to get in that foundational core curriculum. And of course, you have opportunities to explore further through the electives. But I appreciated your point around general management because it doesn't sound so sexy when you describe like general management. Okay. But what it means for people developmentally is something very powerful. And I think that's why Darden graduates are able to move in a lot of different directions after graduation.
Yeah, no, I would totally agree with that. And I would say, if I could critique myself, I felt like I had some basic general management skills just based in practice and the things that I've done. But for me, I really wanted to, as I said earlier, like formalize that. And what am I missing? Like how are there things that I can enhance the skills that I already have? And there's so many, I mean, I could spend time talking about all the courses that I've really enjoyed. I will highlight, if I may, one. So I took a CEO leadership course because this also leads to the opportunity of, you know, we're in Roslyn as executive MBAs, but there have been some opportunities to be on grounds in Charlottesville. So I had an opportunity to do a CEO leadership course with full-time residentials. And there was a group of executive MBAs, including myself. And so that was at the beginning of the year. It was cold, but what I will say is, I mean, one, you had an opportunity to experience Charlottesville. Two, you had the opportunity to meet some of the full-time residentials, which they're amazing. I think the dynamics in the classroom, they learned from us, we learned from them, which again, that's the part of the program that I've really enjoyed. But that is just another opportunity to meet a bunch of CEOs, learn from them, and develop those general management skills. And it was really relevant around digital transformation, all the things that are relevant right now. And that's another thing that I've really enjoyed about Darden too, is the case method and the cases are relevant. Talking about COVID, talking about AI, all those things that you can expect, even if you don't go into a general management role, but all the things that you can expect organizations and CEOs thinking about right now.
That class, I believe, was taught by Carolyn Miles. Is that right?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, if you're curious about learning more, I think it got covered on the Darden Report. It's a really, really cool class. It was offered back in January. She is a Darden alumna and most notably known for her work leading Save the Children, a nonprofit organization with obviously global impact and reach, and is now back helping out at the Darden School across a lot of different dimensions and, of course, teaching some classes too. So that's great. So let's talk about your first year. So you come to Darden, you've got the background that you have, liberal arts, undergrad, law school, you've been working in higher ed, and now you're taking classes like accounting, finance, and decision analysis, and global economies and markets, but also, important to note, leading organizations and leadership communications and business ethics and all these kinds of things. You know, what was that first year like as you got up to speed as an executive MBA student?
Yeah, thank you for reminding me of all those quant courses, Brett. I appreciate that. but that's good. That's good. Again, that's why I came here. So the first year was, you know, no one could have expected what happened, right? Nobody expected the global pandemic. So I don't lean too much on that and how that may or may not have impacted my experience, because I can find the good. Even with all of the things that were happening, not just the global pandemic, but all the racial, social injustice issues that were also happening in 2020. But my learning team, I think, would be a key highlight for me. I know that you all do some magic. I don't know what that magic is when you create learning teams, but I just had a phenomenal learning team. And I know that they are created and put together strategically because there are strengths that we all bring to the group. And then there are areas where we need to grow and we bring those too. And so it's meant to complement. And so I can remember meeting or before a meeting for a learning team, like one of my classmates reaching out to me and saying, do you want to go over this? I think it was maybe for accounting or a finance class. And they did. And I was like, thank you for taking the time to do that, because that was an area I really needed to grow. And they were really good at it. They could probably do it in their sleep. But those opportunities and moments where I know they were just as busy as I was and going through the same experience that I was with the pandemic. But we were still able to make the connections. We were still able to support one another Networking is a really important piece of the Darden experience. And so even with the obstacles that we had, I think, not just with learning teams, but outside of learning teams, you know, there's opportunities in breakout sessions where we would just casually just start chatting about, not about finance, not about accounting. but those are the moments that are really memorable for me. And not being in that area where a lot of my classmates are from, being able to like connect with them maybe twice or once or twice a week for our learning teams. It was just nice to kind of chat, see what was going on in their areas, share a little bit about what's happening in North Carolina. So those are the moments that I remember from my first year. But I also remember in the class really being pushed on those quant courses, but really saying like, I'm going to continue to push myself and take courses. Even some of the electives I chose to still say, how can I challenge and grow these skills? So that's what I remember from my first year.
Well, I have so much to react to in what you shared. So you're right to note that for the class of 2022, an unusual start to the program because of where we were with the pandemic, the COVID restrictions that were in place. We had to have 6 feet of social distance between students in the classroom, which took the classroom capacity from 65, 70 or so students down to about 20 to 25. This was pre-vaccine, by the way. And so there was also, when your class started, again, reacting very much in real time to an evolving situation. COVID, still a lot of unknowns. And we can put our mind back into August of 2020 and what the world was like. Think about LR1 for your class was a virtual experience. And the root of that decision was really around equity. Certainly, there were members of your class who would have greatly preferred and would have liked to have been in person. But we knew that we would not be able to get everybody together in person. And we didn't like the idea of a group of students in that initial stage as brand new Darden students in the executive MBA format, having differential experiences, right? Some in person, some online, some people feeling really connected, some people potentially feeling comparatively disconnected. And that just didn't sound right. And so started virtually, and most of the first year or so of the program was either virtual delivery and occasional hybrid class where there could be in-person participation too. And then come August, we resumed normal operations. So I honestly think like your class, the class of 2022, they have almost like two very separate experiences within your overall 21 months of study here. And you are correct to note that, like, oh, by the way, it wasn't just the pandemic. You know, we talked here on the podcast with members of the class of 2021, but it certainly applies for any group of students that's at Darden or has been at Darden in the past 2 to 3 years with this, with, you know, post the murder of George Floyd, Black Lives Matter, social justice movement, all of that. So in many ways, you know, I was thinking about our class of 2021 when they were in residency. There were protests that were playing out in DC, just a few miles away. And so a lot happening in the world, a lot going on. And that comes into the classroom, right? It's not just like you come and it's just accounting and there's nothing. I mean, all of that is part of your MBA experience. So I appreciate your noting it here. And the learning team piece, I would love to say that we always get it right, but we certainly give it our best shot. It's Laura Bordoni and I working together. Laura Bordoni, friend of the podcast, our dean of students here for the professional degree programs. She and I sit down in the summer and start thinking about building these small groups of students, about 5 to 6 folks working together, different backgrounds, academically, professionally. We also think about race and ethnicity and gender. We try to make the groups have as much difference as possible. But we're also thinking about things like geographic location. So we tried to, you know, we have about 2/3 of the students or so in our program that are within about an hour or so of Roslyn, but another third would be like Asha here, where they're not in the DC area, maybe further away. So we do try to make sure that, you know, the team, if we have a few travelers, it's not just one traveler. It might be a couple of travelers or more. So people who are having to come from a further distance away. The learning team, you know, working with a group, Asha, it feels to me like that's particularly important for our executive and BA students who have just so much going on in addition to the program.
Yeah, and a lot of us have been away from the academic environment for a while. And so it's nice to be able to lean on those folks that this is what they do. Like they do accounting every day, or they work in finance every day. And, you know, obviously they're learning some new skills too, but they have a probably a stronger foundation than some of us. Likewise, there were skills that I found. These are leadership development things that I do in my work every day, but again, enhancing those. But, you know, those were areas where I could say, have you thought about this? Have you looked at it from a different perspective? And they would do the same thing. I don't like to say like push back, because it was more a very friendly environment of just think about these things, broaden your horizon. I can also remember spending a lot more time on Excel spreadsheets than some of my counterparts, but that's what I needed to do. And they would probably spend more time, you know, synthesizing on an idea to write a paper. Again, so there's some trade-offs there. That's my favorite word to use in this context.
I mean, but you're right. Everybody has something that they have to learn. There's no, we always share kind of a riff on this idea is there's no perfect MBA candidate. There's no perfect MBA student. Everybody has gaps. I mean, why would you come to the program if you didn't have gaps and things that you want to address? The whole point here is learning. And you learn in a lot of directions. You learn from the faculty. You learn from your students, fellow students and classmates. You learn from all the interactions you have in this program. And some of the learning you also do is individual, right? So the model at Darden does kind of plan for individual preparation before you go to that learning team meeting. But nobody does this on their own. And I think about your class, Asha, y'all have done a great job, you know, navigating difficult circumstances, you know, COVID and everything going on. We've been in normal operations since August, but even before then, y'all did a lot to stay connected and kind of build connection within your class using the virtual medium. So here you are, second year. It's been back in person. How's the second year been? How's it been going? You're a short timer, so as you noted, quarter 10, the very end of the program.
Yeah. So many words, but I think my second year's been really good. You've actually, and so we actually heard our faculty say in our first year, like, you'll find your stride, you'll find your rhythm. And in the moment you are in your first year, you're like, that's not going to happen, but you do. I've definitely found my stride and my rhythm in the second year. I've also, just coming into the program, I wanted to take advantage of every opportunity. I spent a lot of time in the fall of 2021, deciding what to do next after Darden. I took advantage of a career center early on in the first year. And that's part of the encouragement in the program to do it in your first year. But I did it in my first year. And then I did on-grounds recruitment in the fall. And just the networking opportunities, connecting. I mean, once you like show interest with the Career Center about areas or industry areas of interest, organizations that you're interested in, I mean, Darden alum, they're coming at you, which was really exciting and really helpful. So the way I think about it is, you know, I've had the first year to take the core courses, build some fundamental skills, and also enhance some of the others. And so now you're ready to sort of talk more intentionally about what do you want to do? How are you going to use it? And what's next? So my second year has really been about what's next. So the fall semester, I spent a lot of time recruiting, had a really great, you know, end of the year gift of a new opportunity. So this wasn't something a term that I knew, but I'm a switcher, right? So I'm going from one industry area to another. So I wanted to go from higher ed to healthcare. So I switched to healthcare with the support of Darden, and kind of thinking about the questions that we're talking about today during this conversation. Like, I don't know that would have been a switch that I would have made if I hadn't incorporated Darden into my path. So that's been the fall, or that was the fall, really exciting. It was great to share that with some of my classmates. They've been really supportive. And then so into the spring semester or the spring quarters, it's really been about planning ahead, sort of still taking some electives around some specific areas. I'm taking a solutions in healthcare or innovation in healthcare, which is, you know, applies to some of the things that hopefully I'll be doing after I graduate. So, yeah, so all of it's really been sort of bringing forward the things that I've learned, not just at Darden, but before, into what's next after Darden.
Well, career support in the Executive MBA program actually starts pre-matriculation. So students have an opportunity to participate in what we call a career kickoff meeting. This is a one-on-one meeting with a career coach. That's even before you get started. We also have a series of online self-paced modules, a course that's available across full-time, part-time, and Executive MBA. CDY, short for CDY Finding. In quarter one in the Executive MBA program, you take a course called the Professional Advancement Course, which is, I think, a course that helps students really make connections within their class, people who share your career interests and goals, but also to begin developing a roadmap for yourself as you think about what's to come. There's so much other programming and career-related content that the career team turns out during those weekend residencies. There's oftentimes a career session on Saturday or Sunday that the career team facilitates. And then if you are interested in participating in recruiting, Executive MBA students can. What we generally encourage people to do, though, is don't put all your eggs in that basket. It's one way to potentially find a job if you're looking to make a switch, but it's not the only way. And networking is a huge part of this, to Asha's point. And so if you want to participate in recruiting, that really kicks off around, you know, late summer, early fall of your second year as an Executive MBA student. And so there's so much support. I think oftentimes people wonder, well, what if I want to switch jobs? What if I want to move up within my company? What if I want to launch my own venture? What if I don't know and I just kind of want to explore? Is there support for that? And the answer is yes. And one of the things that we've consistently highlighted for people here on the podcast is in our Executive MBA program, you know, over half of the students, depending on when you ask the question, how you ask the question, would likely identify as career switchers, or at least are open to changing function and or industry, moving out of their existing company. Now, Asha, I want to come back to what you shared. You went from higher education to healthcare. That is a pretty big pivot. I'm sure it's related, but at the same time, people maybe wonder, like you had, you know, 8 years in higher ed, I think, roughly speaking. And so you now come into the healthcare. And how did you make that pitch? How did you decide that healthcare was something that was of interest to you? Walk us through that shift.
Yeah. So I think that goes back to one of the questions that you asked Brett earlier, like, who are you? And I think about, like, what is meaningful to me. And so even if I reflect back on being a lawyer, being in higher ed, what was meaningful to me was helping others solve difficult solutions or working through really difficult circumstances and sort of figuring out, you know, how do I get there and how can I be supportive in helping folks get there? So that's always been an area of interest and part of all the work that I do. And so when I came to Darden, I didn't know exactly what industry I wanted to be in, but I knew I still wanted to be sort of that in that supportive developmental role. But I also knew I wanted to make an impact. And so again, one of the things that attracted me to Darden was this transformational idea when it comes to leadership and making an impact on our communities, big or small. And so putting that all together, I wanted to be in an industry that I could visually see has had an impact on my family. Healthcare is not necessarily something that's accessible. And even if it's accessible, they may or may not choose to access it. And I've seen that in my family. And then really identifying, because I thought about healthcare sort of broadly, but then I wanted to really find an area in which I felt like I could make an impact, even if it's a small impact, it's big to me. And so I was able to find my way through all of the different dimensions of healthcare, and I landed at in global products, so dental products. And just thinking about how can I help improve embodiment, wellness, because it's important to be able to smile, right? And it's important for a lot of us to be able to light up a room by just sort of sharing a smile. And so that's what really drew me to the current organization that I'm going to. But that's why I wanted to focus on healthcare, helping others, and really connecting that back to what that means to my family.
I'm going to ask you a much more technical question related to this. So how did you, obviously this interest is really rooted in your personal experience and your desire to have an impact, but like tactically, how did you figure out, like, I'm here, I would like to get to here, but what is the here it's very difficult to follow this on the podcast. I'm making these hand gestures, which doesn't come through in the audio recording. Basically saying, like, how did you decide, like, healthcare? Like, what did you do to engage with what was possible for you?
Yeah, so I had to look at my skill set, right? I mean, you have to be rational. I don't know that I could go out and, like some of my classmates, fly helicopters and planes. I don't have any transferable skills to do any of those things. So for me, I had to, and this is, again, part of the Darden experience, as you tell your story, as you look at your resume, your CV, and as you write a lot for some of the different courses, you have to do some self-reflection. And so I remember a moment of having to put together my story and really sort of looking back on my experiences in undergrad, my experience in law school, my experience practicing law, my experience in higher ed, and finding the interconnectedness in all of those things to decide, okay, so how can I pull forward this experience and where? And so when I thought about healthcare, I was like, these are all things. So general management, that will be the program that I'm doing at the new organization. Like, I'm pulling together this experience that I've learned along the way of my journey, and I can apply it. And I can also learn or use some of the new skills that I've developed at Darden. So tactically, I had to be intentional about really evaluating the things that I've done, what I wanted to do going forward, and make sure that my skill set would fit. But even where it didn't fit, like the skills that I had learned while at Darden, how do I demonstrate that these are new skills that I've learned, I can apply them, and I'm also bringing forward these skills that I've had before, but have been sort of honed in and more developed. So tactically, that's how I approached it.
Yeah, that makes sense. And, you know, I talk with Jim Collins and Kellogg, Lelleveld all the time. These are career coaches who work closely with our executive MBA students. They have all kinds of resources. If you want to just begin investigating these questions of, you know, what might you do? Where might you go? I think about things like Career Leader and all these reflective surveys that students can do. Think about informational networking too, just as you gather more information about an industry or a particular organization. You mentioned how eager Darden alumni are to help. They are a huge part of this investigation. Just buying someone a cup of coffee or scheduling a Zoom meeting and saying, hey, can you tell me a little bit more about what you do? How did you get there? Tell me about the organization. Why did you choose this organization? What should I be thinking about? These informational meetings, they may sound small and kind of trivial, but they have an accelerating quality in my experience. Like, you talk to one person and they say, well, you know who you should talk to? Send me your resume. But I also think you should talk to this other person. You go talk to that person. They end up talking to another person. And at some point, maybe you end up even applying for a job through all of this. I think that's one of the kind of things that we always stress with prospective students. You know, they know about recruiting. They know about maybe these more defined channels. But there's an organic aspect to the way that this comes together for executive MBA students. It is oftentimes the product of a fair amount of networking and putting in that legwork to find that next opportunity. Does that resonate with you, Asha?
It does. And the interesting thing is, I know the formal term is networking, but for me, a lot of it was, I'm just making this connection because I have questions. I'm intellectually curious about what this role means to you, what this industry area experience has been for you. And so I want to talk to you more about that. And so for me, those conversations, and I think if I had some advice to give perspective students or people that are, or students that are currently looking to switch or make a change, you know, approach those conversations or those networking situations as just conversations. I want to learn about you. I'm hoping that you'll learn about me. And organically, I think those opportunities of, hey, have you thought about coming here? Or have you thought about going there? Those just happen really naturally. And for me, that's what's important. I know some people see networking as it's maybe uncomfortable for them, but I think if you kind of approach it just as a conversation, there's some things that I can share with you and you can share with me. That feels good because even if you decide that maybe you're going to go a different direction, my experience is if I saw them out and about or had to connect with them in the future, you know, the first question would be, how's it going? Where did you land? And I'm hoping to do the same after graduation as well.
You're right that that word networking, I think for people can sound really transactional, like you're just trying to collect people's business cards and have a conversation to get to the next conversation. But the better way to think about it is exactly how you described it, right? You're just curious. You just want to learn more. You want to have a conversation with them. You're asking questions. You're sharing about yourself and building relationships with people who will become part of your network. And you will continue to stay in touch and help them know, help them learn about what you've been up to and how the process is going. Like this is all part of, you know, what the brilliance of the Darden Alumni Network is. Not only are people eager to have this, they've all been the person on the other end of this conversation at some point, and they want to help out. But they're also a group of people who I think are relationship oriented. This is the thing that we always stress as prospective students look at the executive MBA program, because I think for many executive MBA students, you think about schedule and time and convenience and how busy they are, but really try to make sure that students understand, like, the sense of community, your connection with your classmates is a big part of this experience, just as is a part of the Darden experience generally. What's your reaction to that option?
I agree 100%. Right. So we talked about this a little bit earlier about why I chose Darden, and it was that community feeling, because I didn't know for sure what it would be like, but it definitely felt community oriented. And building relationships, I think, is important to me. That's one of the things I enjoy doing in my work, but I also enjoy doing that outside of work. And so I think oftentimes we'll say, I don't think that if you called an alum, Darden alum, that they wouldn't take the call. They absolutely would. And I think that that speaks to sort of the character of the students that Darden's executive MBA program attracts, that are these people that want to continue that extension even after graduation to current students, and demonstrate and model the way of what it means to build those relationships, to provide support, because that's in part what we're learning through this experience. And it's not just an expectation, because I think that that's just naturally, organically what we would do.
Well, Asha, you are here in quarter 10. The class of 2022 has a weekend residency this weekend. We're recording this here in the very tail end of March. And so you're in an elective quarter, which currently for the executive MBA program means that there are electives that are offered on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And you, depending on what might work with your schedule, obviously you're choosing your classes. That's the idea of electives. And then after quarter 10, you've got LR2 on the horizon, the very last academic activity in the program. In this program, you begin and end with a week-long residency in Charlottesville. So a little bit more time in Charlottesville for you. What are you looking forward to as you close things out here and advance towards graduation?
Yeah, so many things. I mean, I don't consider this as a chapter that I'm closing. It's a chapter that is part of the story, right? So just moving on to the next piece. But it's nice to be able, so this is 10.2 on grounds in Roslyn, but it's our last. And so we're doing a kickoff for a nonprofit sort of, it's just to sort of encourage. So it's a nonprofit board and philanthropy participation opportunity. We're advocating, serving, and giving. That's the Darden way. And so I'm helping a classmate. I'm really just sort of supporting my classmate in that initiative, but really it's to set up this idea of after you leave Darden, continue to advocate, continue to support, and continue to take the things that we've learned through this Darden experience forward, even in the nonprofit space. And you mentioned the professor for the CEO class and very strong presence in the nonprofit arena. She's actually going to be at the event Friday night. So really excited about that bookending the program for me. And then because we didn't get LR1, I'm just really excited about having an opportunity for, you know, a week long to be immersed in the program and feel what it's like to be around my classmates and around Charlottesville and around Darden. And I just think that's going to be a phenomenal experience to kind of bring everything back together. So those are the two big things that I'm really excited about.
And that's great. Your class has a lot of really, really cool initiatives happening. You're in the midst of raising your class gift, which I had a chance to attend the kickoff party for that. That was great to hear from the chairs for your class gift committee. Let's just say, make no small plans. I think that they have ambitious goals. I think trying to raise $200,000 as a class. And they announced at that event, I think I heard this correctly, that if the class achieves 100% participation as a class, in giving to the class gift, the chairs for the class gift will kick in an additional $75,000 as part of the fundraising. I've been to different events through my years in higher education. I don't recall a class gift announcement quite like that. That was really cool and not surprising given your incredible classmates and the folks that are heading that up. And so I was thrilled to hear that. And obviously I am also looking forward to LR2 with your class. It is always a special time. I try to explain it to people on our overview webinars that it's both an exciting time and there's also like a tinge of sadness. Like the thing is coming to an end in a certain way. It's not the end. As you noted correctly, that things will continue to develop from here, but it is the end of a certain experience. And so there's bittersweet, I would say, but there is so much planned. I think if I was looking at the schedule correctly, there's a couple of class-wide dinners, including one at the King Family Vineyards. It's a beautiful location right outside of Charlottesville on that Friday of LR2. There's all kinds of things that students get into on their own, independent of our own planning during those week-long residencies in Charlottesville. So I'm excited for y'all, but I'm also looking forward to having the time to hang out with your class, Asha. So a lot to look forward to for all of us. So one last question here. Thank you for sharing your experience and congratulations on your new role. The last question is the same one we ask of all of our guests here. Do you have a word of advice, something you would share with our listeners as they think about their own MBA journeys?
Yeah, I mentioned earlier, I didn't wake up overnight. I didn't say it in quite these words, but I didn't wake up overnight, you know, making that decision. It's an intentional decision and it should be, no matter where you are in your career journey. And so I think if you're able to take the time and to sort of assess where you are right now and where you want to be in the future, and you see an MBA as part of that journey, and whether you're a switcher, climber, like you said, or an explorer, I think that Darden or the MBA experience at Darden will help you figure out where you land in one of those arenas. But I would definitely say to prospective students, it's an amazing opportunity. There's so much that you already know, but there's so much more that you can learn.
Well, Asha, congratulations on everything. Thank you for coming on the podcast. And you know, it's always great to talk with someone who's in North Carolina. I'll just say that. So look forward to seeing you this weekend.
We'll always have that connection, Brett. And yes, I will see you this weekend. Thank you for having me.
And that was my interview with Asha Pridgen, a second-year student in our Executive MBA class of 2022. As always, if you have any comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA at darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, stay safe, be well, and thanks for listening.